This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Answers UK Radio. This is the radio talk programme from Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom, which looks at various news and views to do with creation, evolution and Genesis. My name's Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Coming up on today's programme, we'll be looking at the news items to do with gay penguins. We'll be looking at how to become a creation speaker with the Prepared to Answer conference. We'll be looking at the teaching of evolution in primary schools and the controversy surrounding that in the United Kingdom. Is it controversy or is it controversy? I'm never quite sure, really, the correct pronunciation of that word. And also, how evolution is supposedly affecting the fairer sex, why women are getting more beautiful as time gets on. I'd best be very careful what sort of comments I make on that topic. We'll also have music from Tim Constable and from Richard Alexander. So stay tuned to Answers UK Radio. By the way, don't forget to keep your podcasting software up to date so that you can keep up with the latest editions of Answers UK Radio and, of course, our sister podcast, Answers UK Ministry, which features talks given by speakers associated with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. All the information about the addresses for the podcast can be found at the normal website, www.answersingenesis.org. Just click on the link for free media. Also, we've put together a blog site as a sort of online listings magazine so that you can get further information, a lot more details about how to subscribe to the Answers UK podcasts. That blog is at aukpodcast.wordpress.com. That's aukpodcast.wordpress.com. You'll find details about how to use the feeds in various podcasting software, and you'll also find buttons for automatic subscription to the podcasts using iTunes. Yes, we're now registered with iTunes, and you can in fact go into the iTunes store and you can search for our podcasts and you can subscribe to them free through iTunes or using the special subscription buttons at aukpodcast.com. So it's never really been easier to get hold of this particular podcast. Well, first, a little bit of light news, and it's the story of the gay penguins. Well, there have actually been a few stories about gay penguins from different zoos around the world. The particular one that I was thinking of was to do with a zoo in San Francisco, where there were two penguins, and they were both male penguins, and apparently, according to the story, they even hatched a chick together. It turns out later that, in fact, the egg was given to these penguins. They didn't take it from anywhere else. They were given this particular egg and they hatched it out. But this has been used as an excuse for saying, well, this particular type of behaviour is natural. It comes from evolution. Well, there's two things there. One, it doesn't make sense for this to be an evolutionary process because it isn't actually, even if evolution were true, then this is not contributing towards the furtherance of species. Secondly, just because something happens in nature does not necessarily mean that it's right. For example, lions will tear up other animals and kill them, and we don't assume, therefore, that that's something that's acceptable for people to do, even though we accept that behaviour in lions because they're doing what comes naturally. But you see, what comes naturally has been affected by the fall of Adam. The sin of Adam has affected the whole of creation, and therefore animals' behaviour changed from that point. Before the fall of Adam, the way that God created the world, it was created perfect, and there was to be no death of animals, no bloodshed, disease, and so on. So these things have changed. But just listen to this particular news item, because two penguins in a zoo in San Francisco, these two so-called gay penguins, have split up, and the report was carried on Fox News, which is, we've got a clip from that news program now, so that you can hear what their comments are on the particular story.
Whenever there's a love triangle, someone always ends up getting hurt. Just ask Pepper the penguin. At the San Francisco Zoo, Pepper, a male penguin, and Harry, another male penguin, have been an item for 6 years. The same-sex couple nested together and even incubated an egg laid by another penguin. That is, until a female penguin named Linda entered the picture. Recently, Linda and Harry started getting tight, and Pepper did not like it. The jilted Pepper even got into a violent confrontation with Harry over the new woman. Zoo officials had to separate the three penguins for a while, and now Harry and Linda are living a happy life together. Sorry, Pepper.
If we make much more comment on something like this, we're in danger of becoming as foolish as those people that we're criticising on the subject. But it's just interesting to note the level that some evolutionists and atheists and those who don't want to follow God's law, these sort of levels that they'll really comment on in order to try and make their case, the sort of nonsense that we're beginning to deal with. And this is supposed to be serious comment and serious science. And when we make comments on the truth of scripture, that is supposed to be a reason for deriding us. It's interesting to note who are the real fools in all this. Well, let's take a break from news items, and we're going to listen to a piece of music that I was sent. There's a chap by the name of Tim Constable, and he writes music under his own name and a couple of other names, and it's a fascinating MP3, this, and I'll give you some information after the track about how, where you can hear this music again, where you can get hold of Tim's music. But Tim's a supporter of Answers in Genesis, and the track is called Don't Go Monkeying Around.
From a speck to a pub in the sea, from a blob to a gem in the green, from a jam to a fat guy on sea, slippy thing that can lead to a slug and a squid in the sea, to a fish and a sea centipede, to a frog and a frog that's green, from a frog to a lizard, from a lizard to Godzilla bird. Don't you monkey around, don't you monkey around, don't you monkey around, don't you monkey around. They tell you there's no purpose, it all happened by chance. No angels, no demons, no spirits, no God, no romance. But it's all too amazing, too wonderfully planned. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than I can understand. Before there was time, nothing exploded into everything. All the chaos organized itself into galaxies and planets. Then life emerged out of purposeless matter, and all the information to make you and me erupted out of chaos. From a mouse to a bat, with a sheep and a cat, from a pig to a horse.
When God began to create heaven and earth, and the earth then was well-turned waste, and darkness over the deep, and God's breath hovered over the waters, God said, let there be light. And God saw all that he had done, And look, it was very good.
That's Tim Constable with a track called Don't You Monkey Around. If you want to find out any more about Tim's music, go to www.showcaseyourmusic.com/TimC. That's www.showcaseyourmusic.com/TimC. Still to come on Answers UK Radio, how to become a creation speaker by looking at the Prepared to Answer conference, the evolution of why women are getting more beautiful, and some more music from Richard Alexander.
Creation in schools. How do we teach it? Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the children's book, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? I know many Christian teachers in public schools who look on themselves as missionaries in a pagan system. But how can those who teach science truly be effective? See, as a former public school teacher myself, and knowing what the courts have ruled in America concerning not using the Bible in public schools, I believe they can still be successful by simply teaching students how to think. I found that most science classes only teach students what to think, not how to think. When you teach the right way to think, students will easily see that evolution isn't observable science, it's just a belief. My students certainly understood what science is and isn't. I taught them that real science involved using your five senses in the present to build space shuttles, for example. But with Origins, you step outside of this sort of science. You're dealing with beliefs of scientists who weren't there. You know, the students quickly caught on, and then they asked questions like, how can we know where we came from? What a great opening for me to give the answer. God created.
Well, it's good to hear that little clip there from Ken Ham's mini-series, Answers with Ken Ham. You can hear more of those one-and-a-half-minute programs on the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org. And those little clips feature Ken Ham and Mark Loy. We were, of course, talking to Ken Ham in the last episode of Answers UK Radio. We were talking about his book, Already Gone. And please remember that that book is still on special offer. The normal retail price is £8. It's on special offer at £7 at the moment. And anyone who listens to this podcast will extend the offer for people listening to podcasts. So if you've been listening to episode 11 of the Answers UK Radio podcast, then you can buy the book Already Gone for another 50p off at the price of £6.50. Just call us and make sure that you tell us that that's where you've heard about the book, and we'll give you that extra 50p off. Or if you buy over the web, when you get to the final checkout basket, there is a comment section, I believe, for you to fill in so that you can make it known that you've heard about the book on Answers UK Radio episode 11. This offer is only open until August the 31st. We obviously can't keep it open forever, but it's open until August the 31st. We've got a few other new products in, by the way, that you might be very interested in. For those of you who've heard or about or read the book by Dr. Dennis Alexander, Creation or Evolution, Do We Have to Choose? That book presents a case saying that you can believe the Bible and believe the theory of evolution. And to my way of thinking, that book is just a complete train wreck of theology. I know that when I debated Dr. Alexander on BBC Radio Wales, I just had to remark in the end that he was really trying to do some sort of theological contortionism in order to believe the two things. Well, now an excellent writer called David Anderson has written a detailed reply. It started out as a book review on his blog, but it became a book in its own right, and we're stocking that book now. It's called Creation or Evolution, Why We Must Choose, by David Anderson. You can buy it from the Answers in Genesis website or phone us up on 0116 270 8400, and the price of that book is £8. A very important book to get. And one other book, very, very quickly, there's a children's book out, a new children's book. It's hoped that it'll be part of a series, and it's been written by myself and my wife, writing under her pen name of Geraldine Wotton, and the book's called Frankie's School Day. We hope it's going to be a series of books which are little storybooks for children featuring Frankie and Dolly, a couple of little Tyrannosauruses, and is talking about their adventures and brings in some important stories from the book of Genesis. So have a look for the first book in that series, which again you can get from us, Frankie's School Day by Geraldine Wootton and myself, Paul Taylor, and illustrations by Ben Scotton. And the price of that book is £4. £4. And those books can be got, along with a lot of other books, from our website, answersingenesis.org, or by phoning 0116 270 8400. Coming up on Answers UK Radio, episode 11, what's the row about the teaching of evolutionary in primary schools all about? And we'll hear some more music. This time it will be a song by Richard Alexander. But first, there's been a news report this week, and for those of you listening later, this by this week, I mean that there was a news report in the Times, the Sunday Times, on Sunday, July the 26th, 2009, about the headline, Women Are Getting More Beautiful. And here's how the item starts off. For the female half of the population, it may bring a satisfied smile. Scientists have found that evolution is driving women to become ever more beautiful, while men remain as aesthetically unappealing as their caveman ancestors. Now, I'm going to pick that sentence apart in a moment, but let's just have a look at what the argument actually is. The argument is that that females are becoming more and more beautiful. Well, you know, when I think about the women in my life, such as my wife and daughters, you know, I sometimes think, well, obviously they are the pinnacle of possible evolution in that case, because there couldn't be anyone more beautiful than them. But according to this particular news item, it says, researchers have found beautiful women have more children than their plainer counterparts, and a higher proportion of those children are female. Those daughters, once adult, also tend to be attractive, and so repeat the pattern. Well, it's interesting, because I'm sure I've read a news report that said something quite different in the past, that better-looking people have less children. But be that as it may, what they're talking about here is not evolution. If what they're saying is true, and there is a selection process going on so that women are going to be selected who are more and more good-looking, this is not, in fact, evolution, because there are other factors involved here. And really, in many ways, people have often said that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but maybe there are certain objective tests that we can use to decide what female beauty is all about. But even if the research is absolutely correct, this is not evolution, it could be natural selection. It's interesting that the report goes on to say that, in a quote from the report at the moment, in men, by contrast, good looks appear to count for little, with handsome men being no more successful than others in terms of children. This means there has been little pressure for men's appearance to evolve. So that explains the fact that I'm both fat and ugly then. That's obviously got nothing to do with evolution. In fact, it's interesting that the report goes on to say the findings coincide with the bicentenary of the birth of Charles Darwin, whose theory of evolution first described the forces that shape all species. Well, let's have a look at what the researchers have been doing. The researchers have been looking at statistics here and now. They've been measuring things in the present, not things in the past. And that's very important, because, of course, our experiments are done with things in the present. But what does this sentence at the beginning of the news report say? It says that scientists have found, no doubt about that, no dispute, scientists have found that evolution is driving women to become ever more beautiful, while men remain as aesthetically unappealing as their caveman ancestors. You see, that whole sentence raising a huge number of questions, and is really, I was going to say, it's begging questions, and of course that's actually probably a correct terminology. Begging the question is actually a logical fallacy. We discussed logical fallacies a couple of episodes ago with Dr. Jason Lyle, and by the way, you might be interested to know that there's some articles, regular articles, every Monday at the moment on our website by Jason on the subject of logical fallacies. You need to read them, you need to get to know how to recognise logical fallacies in evolutionary thinking. And here's one. Scientists have found that evolution is driving women to become ever more beautiful. The word driving, it implies that there's something that is a force else that's been actually discovered. And of course, it's not been discovered. Evolution is a theory that many people are using to try and explain things. In fact, it's even less than a theory. It's a hypothesis. It's basically a worldview. It's a worldview that tries to explain the way things are without God. But you see, evolution actually is not to do with what this article is talking about, which would simply be natural selection. Evolution, in a molecules to mankind sense, is actually an increase in genetic information. Yet the mutations that we see do not actually produce new genetic information. If more beautiful women really are being selected for by natural selection, that means there's going to be a loss of genetic information, not a gain of genetic information. And that is not evolution. It's not the same thing as the belief that apes and humans had a common ancestor on which their both lines are supposed to have built in their evolutionary process. So, you know, the whole premise of this newspaper article is basically a train wreck. Of course, it then goes on to say that men remain as aesthetically unappealing as their caveman ancestors. Again, you can see the presuppositions there, the idea that we have developed from cavemen, or that people living in caves are somehow inferior to others. Actually, they're not. People who lived in caves in the past were simply people who lived in caves. You know, and when you look at the various examples of cave paintings around the world, levels of art to a level of sophistication far greater than anything I could personally manage. The idea that these are simpler and less intelligent people and on a lower scale in evolution, well, it just doesn't actually hold water, does it? So this news item is based on presuppositions, it's based on begging of questions, in other words, circular arguments, which of course are logical fallacies. It's worth you having a look at it. You'll find it at the Times Online website, timesonline.co.uk, and just search for "women are getting more beautiful." But the whole idea is nothing to do with evolution. If it actually happens, if they prove that it's actually the case that women are becoming more beautiful with each successive generation, then even that is not evolution. It's simply an example of natural selection. Well, let's have some more music now before our last item on the show. One of our great supporters, a man called Richard Alexander, wrote a number of songs that we put together on a CD, which is called Light and Life. You can get that CD from Answers in Genesis at a cost of £8. It's a lovely CD. It's folk-style music and played with guitar and voice. So it's nicely, simply arranged, very, very lovely background listening. Now, one of the songs on this CD is called Just 6 Days, and I love this song because actually Richard wrote it for me. My first book was actually called Just 6 Days, which was a commentary on Genesis chapters 1 to 11. I published that book myself with the title Just 6 Days. After joining Answers in Genesis, it was taken up by Master Books, who republished it under the name The 6 Days of Genesis. So you can see that book on the Answers in Genesis website. But Richard Alexander got hold of the earlier version, the version called Just 6 Days, and he was inspired to write this song, which really emphasizes the truth of the fact that God created the world in 6 days. So I'm so grateful to Richard for writing this song. I love listening to it. It's a beautiful piece of music. So let's share that with you now. Richard Alexander and Just 6 Days.
How long did it take to make the world? How long until creation was done? 6 hours, 6 months, or 6,000 years? We'll need to turn to Genesis 1. Just 6 days, start with the light. Just 6 days, and then it was right. Just 6 days, then finish with the making of man. What a plan. Just 6 days. Anyone there to see it all start? Did anybody see him create? The Bible makes clear how long that it took. We didn't have long to wait. Just 6 days, we know that it's true. Just 6 days, and then he was through. Just 6 days, then finished with a day of rest. How blessed. No jest. It's just 6 days. time he was there before it began. He finished the job in just 6 days. What a marvelous, a wonderful plan. Just 6 days, for he had begun. Just 6 days, and then he was done. Just 6 days, creation was complete. So neat, so sweet. What a feat. Just 6 days. Just 6 days, for he had begun. Just 6 days, and then he was done. Just 6 days, we know that it's true. Just 6 days, and then he was through. Just 6 days, start with the light. Just 6 days, and then he was right. Just 6 days, then finish with the making of man. What a plan. Just 6 days. Just 6 days, start with the light. Just 6 days, and then he was right. Just 6 days, then finish with the making of man. What a plan. And remember, it's just 6 days.
A long list of the country's most senior scientists has written to the school's secretary, Ed Balls, to complain that the proposed new curriculum for primary schools doesn't mention evolution.
That was how presenter Sarah Montague began her report on the BBC's flagship radio news programme, the Today programme, broadcast on the morning of Tuesday, the 28th of July 2009. The row concerns a consultation document that's been put out by the government's Department for Children, Schools and Families. The department have produced a number of consultation documents on changing the curriculum in primary schools from the current 11 fairly rigid subjects to 6 broad brush type areas of study. One thing that's particularly disturbing in Montague's introduction is a number of value judgments. First of all, she says that the letter has been written by 26 of the most leading scientists in the United Kingdom. Well, that's simply not the case. Even if it were, this of course is an example of a logical fallacy. It's the argument by authority. But there are a good many very senior scientists whose names are not on the list. But it's perhaps interesting to notice who is on the list. A number of evolutionary atheist scientists on the list, including Professor Richard Dawkins, Professor Steve Jones, Professor Lewis Wolpert. And these are people who are well known for their advocacy of atheistic evolutionism to be taught in schools. There is one token Christian on the list, and this is the Reverend Dr. Michael Rice. Listeners may remember a little bit about Dr. Rice. He was the man who lost his job as Director of Education at the Royal Society in the year 2008 because of his views that if pupils in schools have creationist viewpoints, then they should at least be treated with respect by teachers. We commented in Answers in Genesis publications at the time that Dr. Rice was thoroughly evolutionary in his views, but he was simply talking about respect. For that reason, he was criticised by a number of the fellow signatories on this particular letter that we're looking at today. It seems, therefore, that he's trying to get back on side, so to speak, with these people. Many of the other signatories, however, are atheists, and this is not surprising because another thing that was missed out of Montague's introduction is that the letter was actually inspired and organised by the British Humanist Association, which is the UK's largest atheist organisation. It would seem likely then that there is an agenda in mind in the writing and compiling of this particular letter. But maybe it'd be useful to listen to Dr. Rice's comments, because it was he who was interviewed by Sarah Montague on the Today programme.
Professor Rice, why does it matter if that evolution is explicitly mentioned in the curriculum?
Evolution is really at the core of biology. And the new proposals, and I have to emphasise, these are out for consultation, so it's not so much a complaint, but an urging from a number of scientists and others. We're suggesting that we must make sure that this core aspect of science and biology is included even in primary schools.
Now, these comments are entirely disingenuous by Dr. Rice. You can examine the particular consultation document we're referring to on the website of the Department for Children, Schools and Families. That's dcsf.gov.uk. And on page 6 of that particular document, it says that pupils need to be taught to apply knowledge and understanding to describe and explain the structure and function of key human body systems, including reproduction, to investigate the structure, function, life cycle and growth of flowering plants and explain how these are linked, to investigate, identify and explain the benefits of microorganisms and the harm they can cause. Now, there's hardly anything creationist in that particular section of work, and in fact it's no different from what we currently have in the national curriculum. An examination of the national curriculum at the moment will notice that in the key stage 2, which is up to 11 years old, there is no mention, explicit mention of the word evolution there. There is nothing to stop particular teachers from discussing these aspects so long as they're discussed in an open manner. But it's this lack of openness that's the problem. Yet Dr. Rice claims that he wants an open discussion. And, for example, here's what you said later in the interview.
Some people think that one of the aims of the science curriculum should be to get pupils to enjoy it. I actually have a slightly different view on this. I'm more concerned to get critical thinking in young people, whether in primary school or in secondary school. Many of them will indeed go on to enjoy science and choose to study it after the age of 16, and I'd be delighted. But it's those elements of critical thinking and integrity and truthfulness that I especially want to see developed.
If I may say so, truthfulness is not served by pretending to have an interview about balance in a primary science curriculum when actually we're dealing with a letter which was sponsored and organised by the British Humanist Association, who clearly have an agenda in mind, even though their spokesman on this occasion is an ordained minister in the Church of England. But really, if Dr. Rice was actually open about wanting critical thinking taught in primary schools, then I would welcome that, because critical thinking, if pupils aged 11 and under were being taught critical thinking, then they wouldn't be taken in by the nonsense which is taught in the name of evolutionary science. They would see through the fact that the emperor has no clothes. They would see through the whole edifice of evolutionism and realise that actually it has no scientific basis whatsoever. So critical thinking in primary schools, yes. The actual comment on teaching evolution, well, I don't really have a problem with teaching evolution if it's taught in the right way. Pupils need to know that it is a view that is believed by a number of scientists, but they do not need to be taught that it is fact when it clearly is not, because to teach them such is untruthful, and apparently Dr. Rice wants us to teach truthfully. I'm all for teaching truthfully, but if Dr. Rice wants evolution taught as fact, then that simply is not the truth, because it is not. These things need to be examined critically. I think, finally, the last comment I'd make on it is, even if you actually believe the theory of evolution, we're talking about a science curriculum for children up to the age 11. I mean, when I look through the proposals, if I look in the section on material behaviour, for example, there is absolutely nothing mentioned here about atomic theory. So are these children being taught a lie? They're not being taught about atoms and electrons whizzing round the atoms in different orbitals? Well, no, because that isn't actually relevant at that particular age. And again, in the area to do with physics, the area that's labelled energy, movement and forces, nothing is mentioned about gravitational theory, nothing is mentioned about Ohm's law in electricity, nothing's mentioned about Hooke's law, nothing's mentioned about Einstein's equations. Why not? Because, of course, these things are not relevant to that particular level. The writers of the letter have commented on resources that are available, and I noticed that one particular publication, which has featured comments by some of the signatories on the subject of teaching evolution, has suggested that teaching evolution in primary schools could look to examples from French classrooms. And I refer to an article in the journal Evolution, Education and Outreach, Volume 2, pages 136 to 140, and yet the example in that article are things that I would have no problem with whatsoever, because the investigations are in fact not to do with evolution, they're to do with natural selection. So once again, we have a problem here of terminology, of people pretending that what's being taught then is evolution and saying to the children, therefore evolution is true, when actually what the children are being shown is not evolution, it's natural selection, it's the sort of thing that we see going on in the world in the form of speciation. What we need is a lot more honesty on this subject, a lot more relevance, and this particular interview really does a disservice to its listeners by not pointing out that the letter that was being referred to was written, organised, and produced by the British Humanist Association, who have an agenda in mind. Well, that's all for this programme, episode 11 of Answers UK Radio. We've gone on a little bit longer than we perhaps should have done. We're about 5 minutes over, which would have been a problem if this was a live programme, but hopefully you can excuse it since it's a podcast. Please don't forget the various products we've mentioned. You can get Ken Ham's new book, Already Gone, at the special bargain price of £6.50. The normal offer price at the moment is £7. The normal retail price is £8. This offer of £6.50 to listeners of this podcast is open until August the 31st, 2009. Just say that you heard about the offer on episode 11 of Answers UK Radio. Also, there's the new children's book, Frankie and Dolly. Have a look at that. There's David Anderson's new book, Creation or Evolution, Why We Must Choose. Have a look at that on our website. And, of course, you need to get hold of the Answers magazine to have all the latest information, the up-to-date information that you need. And don't forget the Prepared to Answer conference for those people who are looking at speaking a little bit, maybe on the subject of creation, evolution and Genesis. Contact us about that, £25 per person. So thank you for listening to this particular podcast. Thank you. God bless. Keep your iTunes and other podcasting software up to date so that you won't miss the next episode of Answers UK Radio. Goodbye.